we're starting the Mystic Pete Chronicles.
Thank you.
We are starting the Mystic Pete Chronicles, and I'm Mystic Pete. Every week, through interviews with thought leaders, visionaries, and creatives, and stories, music, and humor, we'll do some deep ponders in this time of great change, and have some fun. If you'd like more information about today's guests, or to be interviewed for the show yourself, I'm at mysticpete.com and mysticpete on social media. In today's show, I feature Matt Johnson and play some live recordings from his band called The New Jet Set. At the beginning of the show, I played Alice in Wonderland. Then after the interview, I'll play Part of Your World and then If a Dream is a Wish. After that, Poetry Corner. I read some of my favorite poems written by Emily Dickinson. Stay tuned. Mystic Pete Chronicles. It's February 29th, 2024. Mystic Pete here with Matt Johnson, the leader of the band called The New Jet Set. Matt, I'll let you tell us about it.
Awesome. The New Jet Set is a post-big band modern ensemble for you jazz fans. It's Oscar Peterson with Joe Pass or the George Shearing Quartet. It is, the instrumentation is piano, guitar, bass, and drums. They're all world caliber players, and we also feature a vocalist, Adrian De Leon, and we play music in a very modern, think of Mad Men, Vegas, 1962 kind of manner. And currently we've been exploring the Disney songbook. We've been taking your favorite Disney classics and putting them through the jazz interpretation machine, and we're having lots of fun with it, doing that show, Swinging the Disney Songbook, and it's getting a lot of positive reviews, and we're just having fun with it.
You're playing at the Sierra Madre Playhouse March 22nd through the 24th.
Correct. Well,
how did this project evolve?
Well, I will tell you, I'm actually been a Disneyland cast member since 1979. Off and on since 1979. I took some time off to raise a few kids. And we had the opportunity to go, besides playing shows in the park, I have the opportunity to put groups in special events. And we were invited to do a series of four Disney special events. And I thought, you know what? The company was celebrating 100 years of animation. Let's just make it all. We were actually hired to play background jazz, but we just kind of... We blindsided them with all our own arrangements of Disney music played in a jazz style. So it was kind of a sly way of giving them what they wanted. And we had such a good time putting that program together. We thought, oh, let's, you know, present this outside the park and see if people dig it.
You're a musician from way back.
From way back. Yeah, I marched in my local drum and bugle corps at 10 years old, played in the marching band and the jazz bands in middle school and high school. Middle school, we called it junior high back then, and high school. Studied music in college and started working right out of college. Worked for Disney. I was 15 years full-time there, and then started touring with some acts of note. Some people our parents would be familiar with, Julie Andrews and the Smothers Brothers, was on tour with them. And then full circle came back, and I just started my 31st year, hard to believe, of instructor of drum set at Fullerton College. So I am inspiring the next generation of unemployed jazz musicians there at Fullerton College.
So you're teaching too. Well, you know, Disney... I don't know how much the audience follows their saga, but, you know, there's drama at times with Disney, but they've brought so much to Western civilization, to global civilization.
Yeah, right.
They're such an important pillar of creation. So many ideas and images and music and years and decades of this. So a very important force for culture, and you've just been a part of it for years.
Yeah, you know, I'm not authorized to speak on behalf of the company, but it has been a very strong guiding force. It's certainly been an education. When people would say, where'd you go to school? I say, I was trained on the streets of Disneyland USA. Right out of college, you know, and there was a lot of us. And when I first went to work for the company, there were probably a dozen atmospheric bands that just played on the street in the different lands. So right out of the chute, I not only learned how to quickly learn a show, but also how to entertain at the same time. A lot of us musicians, both classical and jazz musicians, spend so much time, you know, in the practice room with our heads in the music stand, we forget that people want to also be entertained with their eyes. And it's almost like, you know, there is an attitude with some musicians like, hey, my music should speak for itself. It should be good enough. But in certain places, certainly a theme park, it needs to also be visually entertaining. So I played in atmospheric shows. I played in big, lavish stage shows. I learned to play with a click track, which is, you know, an important part of being a studio musician, but I learned it at Disneyland. Traveled with the company on what they call target market tours. You know, they're basically promotional tours, and we took a character show out on the road for several years in a row. So I got, you know, the sort of feel for the touring life before I really was out with name artists who expected me to know the ropes then, you know. So it's been a wonderful experience, but it has also been an education. You know, it was like graduate school for me, you know, and I was very, very fortunate to do it. Now, the number of atmospheric groups are not as plentiful, which is why.
When you say atmospheric, what do you mean?
Atmospheric group. Well, there's a handful of groups like
background.
Groups that are the background, but they're right on the street. Oh. It's not a formal stage show.
Gotcha.
You know, even though they are sometimes doing a scripted show, but you know, you walk in and there's the Main Street Straw Hatters. They're just playing Dixieland on the street. Gotcha. You know, and in the old days they had the Hook and Ladder Gang at the Firehouse, and then they had the Sax Quintet that were dressed, you know, all of the Keystone Cops, you know, or the turn of the century police officers, and the Pearly Band from Mary Poppins, you know, plays out in Fantasyland, and they're playing music from the movies and you know, popular Disney stuff. So it was, you know, atmospheric groups was a big part. Over on the what we call the West Side in New Orleans, there's always been some kind of jazz band, Dixieland band, you know, playing over there. And they're right there on the street mingling with the guests. It's a real fun, very personal kind of connection with the audience.
Well, if you're busking in the subway or on Venice Beach, you learn how to perform. But I'm sure at Disneyland, you really learn how to perform, and you don't get to play there unless you're impeccable. I mean, they have very high standards, and you're not going to be paid to be a musician there unless you can really bring it.
You can really bring it, and unlike when you're on Venice Boulevard, I mean, you're really, you know, it's live or die, mm-hmm. and you find out quick what the audience mm-hmm. responds to.
Right.
Out at Disneyland, you have a show director and a choreographer and a music director who are constantly reminding you what the show is supposed to be, who your characters are in context to the land that you're in. And, you know, so it's theater along with the musical presentation, you know. It's cool though. I dig every element. I really enjoyed
it. You're being paid to perform and being a musician. I have had a lot of friends who worked at Disney, and they're very happy for the gig. It's what it is. You're asked to do a very specific, you're asked to produce a certain kind of product.
Yeah.
But you're still being paid to express yourself. Like, fine.
Yeah. Right? And where else, you know, the few times where somebody will be grumpy about their station there because they don't feel they're maybe they
can't allowed play their own
to
tune, right?
They can't, yeah, they're not allowed to express their own thing. I mean, where else are you going to be paid? And in, you know, for like the full-time guys, they're, you know, they're full-time employees with all of the benefits thereof. So, you know, there's no other place to do it. And for a company, it's not a bad one to work for.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty solid organization.
It is. Dependable.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little about jazz.
Sure.
There's so many realms and genres and little pockets.
Yeah.
And it's always evolving. But, well, the genre you're playing, at least in this group, you know, it harkens back to early 60s or so.
Right.
But just talk about jazz a little bit for people maybe aren't that familiar with the genre or just familiar with a piece of it.
Right.
What's going on?
That's a pretty broad question.
Big question.
Big question. I will tell you that this specific group is performing, and I kind of went on and on about the style, but it's really important. It's not only important style in music history, but it's an important style in American history, world history. It's in the style of the music that was popular at the end of World War II and pre-Vietnam, which also happens to be the end of the swing era, the big band era, my parents', you know, youthful music, and pre-British invasion. So there was just this little magical moment, and because it was post-war, we also enjoyed this optimism, this country, this, you know, where America's on the move and we're prosperous and anything is possible. If we work together, everybody believed it. I honestly get teary talking about it because it's my childhood. It's also the era that I remember my parents being young, you know, and having lived through the war and feeling just great about everything that was possible. And the music was very optimistic as well. Jazz music in the era, was both kind of poppy and accessible, but then also super aggressive and experimental.
We had Miles coming up.
Yeah. So the bebop was sort of a backlash from the swing era. The musicians, young musicians who still wanted to push the musical envelope, were experimenting with a very aggressive, fast, and harmonically adventurous music. Where the pop music of the day was still very melody driven and still had a real dancey swing kind of feel, but then as a result of the bebop thing that was really a New York thing, out here on the West Coast, we had the birth of the cool. There was the cool school, so it was kind of the smooth jazz of the day, you know. It was much more mellow, much more laid back, reflected the sort of the lifestyle. I had the pleasure for years working with Jack Sheldon. I worked peripherally with Jack Sheldon and did a couple records with him with a Tom Cooper's big band that I was playing with at the time. And he used to tell stories about, he would play with the Lighthouse All-Stars. The Lighthouse was famously at Pier Avenue in Hermosa Beach. It's still there. But it was very much the not only the birthplace, but the sort of the incubator for West Coast jazz. And they used to do gigs there late at night with Lighthouse All-Stars. Then in the morning, he could sleep in, or he'd go do a recording session, a TV show at one of the big studios. Then he had a lunchtime burlesque gig in downtown LA. So he'd go play with a jazz band at a burlesque show for all the businessmen at lunch. And then they'd go down to the beach, right down to the beach, and swim in the surf. You know, they take some of the girls from the burlesque show, go down to the beach, swim, sleep on the beach in the sun until it was time to go to the club gig at night. And that, you know, that was a typical day in the life of an in-demand jazz musician living in Los Angeles who also crossed over into the studio scene. You know, a lot of those guys, and a lot of those guys from the Lighthouse, the Condoli brothers and Shorty Rogers and Jack Sheldon, you know, they were doing TV dates and then also playing jazz at night. So kind of a cool lifestyle. I wish I could have done that, you know.
Kind of dreamy.
Dreamy, man, yeah.
In a seminal period, I guess early jazz really was a dance medium. But then around this time, it turned into a listening medium.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
People don't dance to jazz so much
anymore. I remember my parents saying that when they would go see the Stan Kenton Big Band at down in Balboa, what was that place? The Rendezvous Ballroom, that they would stand in front of the bandstand and just watch the band. But prior to that, yeah, swing music was dance music.
Yeah.
You know, and in the, you know, this... The world was so much more innocent, you know. If you could dance with, you know, someone of the opposite sex, you were practically having sex, you know. There was nothing more intimate and desirable. So, you know, yeah, dancing. And, you know, what they lived through with the war, and sadly, you know, people still have to endure that. We've been fortunate living within our shores. We haven't had a war that really tore us apart like that. But, you know, yeah, can you imagine? My dad enlisted when he was 17, went and fought World War II. And because he was so young, he re-upped when Korea came back around. But, you know, these were children fighting for our democracy.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. I mean, hard to even envision, you know, the 17-year-olds of today. I'm sure they're out there who would be willing to fight and die, but let's hope they never have to. We're kind of getting sidetracked, Pete.
That's all right. Kind of a more idealistic time and relative to the utter chaos of the world today.
Yeah, and you know, it was an idealistic time, and I don't wish to... I don't wish to live in it like, oh my gosh, do you remember when, you know, I want to actually express that optimism, you know. I want to be a part of being a positive force now with the hope that we can, as a collective culture, get back to that feeling that there's only good things in our future and that, you know, and... Which is why I enjoy performing this particular show, Swinging the Disney Songbook, because a portion of it references early Disneyland.
Yeah.
I say in the show, growing up in Orange County, the one thing that symbolized that post-war optimism more than anything else to me was Disneyland USA.
That's true for many people.
And even though there was, you know, many of the lands romanticized our nation's past, the fact that there was one Tomorrowland, and that promise of a great, big, beautiful tomorrow, you know, there was hope for the future. So,
and, you know, Disney has also, just to give them credit, taken some important stands on social justice issues and stuck their neck out.
Yeah.
They didn't have to.
Right.
But they've taken a lot of heat, and good on them they're not just stuck in this halcyon days. Well, back then there was also terrible discrimination.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, they had their challenges.
And even in their movies, it looks like they're making strong attempts to be inclusive, show different kinds of people, different colors of skin. Yeah. So, yes.
Yes, well, very much in the corporate culture of Disney, there's part of the, again, I'm not authorized to speak, I don't speak officially for the company, but there are something called the keys that all employees adhere to, show. and Safety, boy, you think I would know them, but I know there's the five keys. But anyway, just last year they added another one, which is inclusivity. You know,
good, well,
yeah,
good.
You know, it's like this is what we need to be. You know, culturally, we need to be thinking this, and Disney prides itself in being a leader, and they didn't have to, but they got into it with our friends in Florida, and they they really stepped up. It was nice.
You know, I was very happy to see that. And let's talk about these shows at the Sierra Madre Playhouse.
Yeah.
That's Friday, March 22nd through the 24th. You know, this will be a little bit more nostalgic and sweet music, but yeah. What are you envisioning for these shows?
Well, I'm excited to be in that house. I will tell you that the Sierra Madre Playhouse, I happen to know, is celebrating 100 years of service to its community. It's gone through a couple of hands in its lifetime, and I think originally it was like 400 seats. It was a silent movie house originally, and somewhere along its life arc, it was converted to a 99-seat theater, which classifies as an equity waiver theater. So yes. it's a classification of live house. And so this is actually a short season because with new artistic direction there, they have a mandate to produce this short season. I think it just goes from February to June. Then they're going to close maybe for a year, and they're going to expand it back to its original footprint and, you know, restore the seat count to make it like closer to 400 seats. I don't know what the exact
nice.
Is.
Okay.
So it's kind of nice. So this season is all about ramping up for the new expansion. And so I understand it's a very intimate house, as you can imagine, 99 seats. It's not theater in the round, but there's not a bad seat in the house. And so that's going to be cool. And I'm excited for the company that gets to expand it and then host larger live events. And this series that we're involved in, we're actually, I think, in the family series, but they also have like a legitimate jazz series with both local and touring artists of note. They also have a dance series, and I think they're presenting classical music as well. So I'm guessing, I don't know the URL, but I'm guessing Sierra Madre Playhouse.org. That's what I'm guessing. But if you search Sierra Madre Playhouse, you can see their entire lineup for this season.
And you do have a more family show. That's Saturday the 23rd at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Kids welcome.
Yeah. So
Disney stuff, you know.
Kids are, the whole show is family. You know, I think they were just spitballing like, hey, we've got 3 dates available. How can we mix it up a little bit? The show's kind of going to be the same, but they were thinking the kids are up early on Saturday morning. Maybe they are.
Yeah.
They used to be. So it's a show to bring your kids to. And so, yeah, we're thinking like Friday night is date night, Saturday morning with the kids, and then Sunday's the good old-fashioned 2 o'clock matinee for the early birds who want to catch dinner right afterwards. But anybody who's a fan of Disney or live music, here's the other thing. I have a friend who likes to say, even if people say they don't like jazz or they don't know anything about jazz, if they experience a live band, they just can't help but be moved. And my friends who will be with me, Chris Barron, music director and pianist, Miles Jensen, who is a phenomenal artist and producer in his own right. He happens to be the touring guitarist for John Tesh currently. David Miller on bass, who's an OG swinger, was a part of the Jump Jazz revival here in LA, is an original member of the Royal Crown Review, has played with Ornette Coleman and Betty Carter, attended the New School in New York, and I think also Cal Arts out here, studied with legendary bassist Charlie Hayden.
Oh, Charlie.
Yeah, right? And
nice to see him. He used to play in Venice
a
lot.
Yeah.
I worked at a vegan restaurant in Venice years ago, and he'd play every Friday.
Yeah. He was an institution. And Adrian De Leon is the vocalist.
Okay. Powerful.
Who is marvelous. She's absolutely, she is a force, and I love her. And she is equally comfortable singing jazz and super soul, pop, funk, rock. She's also a session singer and appeared on the soundtrack of Mank.
Okay.
And then also appeared in the Disney's The Little Mermaid Live at the Hollywood Bowl. So she's super versatile as well.
You got some heavy hitters.
Yeah. These guys, it's all I can do to just, you know, hang on with both hands. But
well, we'll play a couple of tunes that may be featured. This is from a live performance. What are we going to hear?
I think we've got Alice in Wonderland, which is a cool. Can I tell you a little story about Alice in Wonderland?
Please.
Chris said to me when we... every time we perform the show, people say, oh, do you remember this song? Do you remember this movie? Or I love that one. Can you do... So somebody was requesting something from the movie Alice in Wonderland. There's a lot of great music in it, but not so many memorable ones. And at the same time, somebody asked us, did we know any Disney songs that made their way into the lexicon of the Great American Songbook, but also... became a popular jazz standard. So I could only think of two. Someday My Prince Will Come from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, and this one, the main title to Alice in Wonderland. So Chris, all I have to do is suggest something to Chris, and he goes, oh my gosh, I already know what I'm going to do. And so he said to me, literally, spontaneously, I'm going to use some metric modulation. Now, unless you're a music student, metric modulation is a musical device that gives the illusion of multiple meters within a single time signature. So in this case, 3/4. So he says, in order to give the feeling of tripping down a rabbit hole, I'm gonna use this metric modulation. And then after everybody blows, he said, we're gonna metaphorically climb back out of the rabbit hole in rising minor thirds. So that's the way this guy thinks.
Wow.
And so okay. Hopefully, so don't be a passive listener. You can, you know, see how close we came to accomplishing his vision on Alice in Wonderland. And then if you've got time, Adrian De Leon's version of Part of Your World is so powerful, and it brought the house down at this particular live recording, as well as a very happy someday. No, a dream is a wish your heart makes, but we do it kind of as a song. It's a very slow ballad in Cinderella, but we kind of do it as daka chika dunga chika daka chika boom 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 boom, kind of a samba thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's what we do. We filter the jazz tunes through the, or filter the Disney tunes through the jazz machine and see what comes out the other side.
So music comes out.
Yeah, thanks, man. I hope you enjoy it.
Matt Johnson, where can people find you?
DrummerMattJohnson.com or on Instagram. Not much up on Instagram, but if people want to follow me, I'm at Drum Daddy Official. I'm Drum Daddy Official, Pete.
All right. You did Drum Daddy. The new Jet Set Band.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah.
Exciting.
You'll dig them. You show up, you won't be disappointed.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, my pleasure, Peter.
Look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? Wouldn't you think I'm the girl who has everything? Look at this trove. Treasures untold. How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around here, you think, sure, she's got everything. I've got gadgets and gizmos of plenty. I've got who's it's and what's it's galore. Y'all want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. to see. Wanna see him dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along on a, what's that word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world. What would I give if I could live out of these waters? What would I pay to spend a day warm on the sand? I bet you on land they understand that they know for every man their daughters, bright young women sick of swimming, ready to stand. I'm ready to know what the people know, asking my questions and get some answers. What's a fire and what is it? What's the word? Burn. Wind's in my tongue. Wouldn't I love, love to explore that shore up above, wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world.
Adrian De Leon. Someday
fast asleep. In dreams you will lose your heartache. Whatever you wish for, you keep. Have faith in your dreams and someday
it is. Now you know.
Emily Dickinson's poems, read by Mystic Pete. This is my letter to the world that never wrote to me. The simple news that nature told with tender majesty. Her message is committed to hands I cannot see. For love of her, sweet countrymen, judge tenderly of me. Wild nights, were I with thee. Wild nights should be our luxury. Futile the winds to a hardened port, done with the compass, done with the chart. Rowing in Eden, ah, the sea, might I but moor tonight in thee. There's a certain slant of light, winter afternoons, that oppresses like the heft of cathedral tunes. Heavenly hurt it gives us. We can find no scar but internal differences where the meanings are. None may teach it any. 'Tis the seal despair, an imperial affliction sent us on the air. When it comes, the landscape listens, shadows hold their breath. When it goes, 'tis like the distance on the look of death. I dwell in possibility, a fairer house than prose, more numerous of windows, superior for doors. Of chambers as the cedars, impregnable of eye, and for an everlasting roof, the gambrels of the sky. Of visitors, the fairest, for occupation this, the spreading wide my narrow hands to gather paradise. She rose to his requirement, dropped the playthings of her life, to take the honorable work of woman and of wife. If aught she missed in her new day of amplitude or awe, or first perspective, or the gold in using wear away, it lay unmentioned as the sea developed pearl and weed, but only to himself be known the fathoms they abide. Nature, the gentlest mother, impatient of no child, the feeblest or waywardest, her admonition mild. In forest and the hill, by traveler is heard, restraining rampant squirrel or too impetuous bird. How fair her conversation, a summer afternoon, her household, her assembly. And when the sun goes down, her voice among the aisles incites the timid prayer of the minutest cricket, the most unworthy flower. When all the children sleep, she turns as long away as will suffice to light her lamps, then bending from the sky, with infinite affection and infiniter care, her golden finger upon her lip will silence everywhere. Real riches. 'Tis little I could care for pearls who own the ample sea, or brooches when the emperor with rubies pelteth me, or gold who am the prince of mines, or diamonds when I see a diadem to fit a dome, continual crowning me. Hope. Hope is a subtle glutton. He feeds upon the fair. And yet, inspected closely, what abstinence is there? His is the halcyon table that never seats but one. And whatsoever is consumed, the same amount remain. A word. A word is dead when it is said, some say. I say it just begins to live that day. To venerate the simple days which lead the seasons by, needs but to remember that from you or me, they may make the trifle termed mortality. To invest existence with a stately air needs but to remember that the acorn there and the egg of forests for the upper air. Life's trades. It's such a little thing to weep, so short a thing to sigh. And yet by trades the size of these, we men and women die. Drowning is not so pitiful as the attempt to rise. Three times, 'tis said, a sinking man comes up to face the skies, and then declines forever to that abhorred abode where hope and he part company, for he is grasped of God. The Maker's cordial visage, however good to see, is shunned, and we must admit it, like an adversity. How still the bells and steeples stand, till swollen with the sky, they leap upon their silver feet in frantic melody. If the foolish call them flowers, need the wiser tell? If the savants classify them, is it just as well? Those who read the revelations must not criticize. Those who read the same edition with beclouded eyes. Can we stand with that old Moses? Canaan denied. Scan like him the stately landscape on the other side. Doubtless, we should deem superfluous many sciences not pursued by learned angels in scholastic skies. Could mortal lip divine the undeveloped freight of a delivered syllable, 'twould crumble with the weight. Parting. My life closed twice before its close. It yet remains to see if immortality unveil a third event to me, so huge, so hopeless to conceive as these that twice befell. Parting is all we know of heaven and all we need of hell. Aspiration. We never know how high we are till we are called to rise. And then, if we are true to plan, our statures touch the skies. The heroism we recite would be a daily thing. Do not ourselves the cubits warp for fear to be a king. The inevitable. While I was fearing it, it came, but came with less of fear, because that fearing it so long had made it almost dear. There is a fitting a dismay, a fitting a despair. 'Tis harder knowing it is due than knowing it is here. The trying on the utmost, the mourning it is new, it is terribler than wearing it a whole existence through. A book. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any cruisers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without a press of toll,
How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul? Who has not found the heaven below will fail of it above. God's residence is next to mine. His furniture is love. A portrait. A face devoid of love or grace. A hateful, hard, successful face. A face with which a stone would feel as thoroughly at ease as they were old acquaintances first together thrown. Saturday afternoon. From all the jails, the boys and girls ecstatically leap. Beloved, only afternoon that prison doesn't keep. They storm the earth and stun the air, a mob of solid bliss. Alas, that frowns could lie in wait for such a foe as this. Few get enough. Enough is one. To that ethereal throng, have not each one of us the right to stealthily belong? Upon the gallows hung a wretch too sullied for the hell to which the law entitled him and nature's curtain fell. The one who bore him tottered in, for this was woman's son. 'Twas all I had, she stricken gasped. Oh, what a livid boon. The lost thought. I felt a clearing in my mind as if my brain had split. I tried to match it seam by seam, but could not make them fit. The thought behind I strove to join unto the thought before, but sequence raveled out of reach like balls upon the floor. Reticence. The reticent volcano keeps his never slumbering plan. Confided are his projects pink to no precarious man. If nature will not tell the tale Jehovah told to her, can human nature not survive without a listener? Admonished by her buckled lips, let every babbler be. The only secret people keep is immortality. With flowers. If recollecting were forgetting, then I remember not. If forgetting, recollecting, how near I had forgot. And if to miss were merry, and if to mourn were gay, how very blithe the fingers that gathered these today. Contrast. A door just opened on a street I lost was passing by. An instant's width of warmth disclosed and wealth and company. The door is sudden shut and I lost was passing by. Lost doubly, but by contrast most, enlightening misery. I had a guinea golden, I lost it in the sand, and though the sum was simple, and pounds were in the land, still had it such a value unto my frugal eye, that when I could not find it, I sat me down to sigh. I had a crimson robin, who sang full many a day, but when the woods were painted, he too did fly away. Time brought me other robins, their ballads were the same. Still, for my missing troubadour, I kept the house at Haim.
Thank you.
We are coming to the end of the Mystic Pete Chronicles. You can reach me at mysticpete.com and Mystic Pete on social media. In today's show, I interviewed Matt Johnson and played music from his band called The New Jet Set. We started the show with Alice in Wonderland, and then after the interview, Part of Your World and If a Dream is a Wish. Then Poetry Corner. I read selections written by Emily Dickinson, one of my favorite poets. We'll be back next week with the very best of talk radio. Mystic Pete out! Oh.